If you'll take your songbooks in Mark number 317, 317 is going to be the invitation song. So that everyone understands what we're doing this morning, this afternoon, we're going to basically go down. I'm going to offer the invitation right now, and then we're just going to sing some songs. So once again, I thank you so much for your patience, and thank you, men, for participating. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, we're going to start at verse 1. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it is given to hurt the earth and to the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, neither the tree, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. Pay attention to this. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence they came? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of a great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither the sunlight or them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living waters, unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, I'm sure many of you know that there are some debate as to the actual meaning of this, but I think the intent is clear. And I think that the intent here is to encourage those Christians who are suffering. And I agree with whoever you know developed that or came up with that theory, that the intent is to encourage. And I hope that passage of Scripture encourages you. I hope that you get a vivid picture and understanding of the multitude. A multitude that was so great they couldn't number it. Now, I don't know if many of you have read the book of Numbers and understand kind of how detailed the numbering process was. And, you know, they knew how to count people. But yet, we had a multitude so great, that it wasn't numbered. Christians, this passage of Scripture should inspire us to get out and do the Lord's work. When the troubles of life have us down, this passage of Scripture should inspire. When friends let you down, this passage of Scripture should inspire. When we don't want to go to work in the morning, this passage of Scripture should inspire. When our boss is doing everything in their power to test us, this passage of Scripture should inspire. When we lose our loved ones, this passage of Scripture should inspire. When our frail bodies just don't work the way they used to, this passage of Scripture should inspire. Folks, can you see it? Do you long for heaven? Is it something that you focus on every day when you wake up? You focus on every day before you go to bed? Is it something that inspires you to keep going? I hope it does. In reflecting on the scripture, the passage of scripture that was read, I want to point out three brief things. The first thing I want to point out is that there were those who were sealed, numbering 144,000, and there was a multitude which was so great that they could not be numbered. Now, symbolically, I think the message is clear who that multitude is. That multitude consists of people who were stained with the blood of Jesus Christ. And I think that that multitude should inspire us. We should want to be amongst that multitude as it relates to us living our everyday lives. The second thing I want to point out is that those people were not just standing around wondering what was going on, but they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were saying. They knew that they were around the throne worshiping God. And essentially, the point that I'm trying to make is, today, when we come to service, this is our practice. When we live our everyday lives, that's our practice. That's what we should use in order to prepare for that day whenever we are in heaven with God, worshiping Him around the clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The third point I want to make is that we read in the Bible where Jesus says He's left to prepare a place for us in His Father's house. But after reading this passage of Scripture, one other thing dawned on me, and that is, if it wasn't enough for Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, when we're up there with Him, He'll be among us. He'll lead us to fountains of living waters. We won't thirst anymore. We won't be hungry. Being Texans, we won't be hot. We won't be in the sun. All great things. And these are things that God has prepared for the people that stain their robe with His blood. For those of us who are Christians, this is what is waiting on us. This is what our day will one day look like. Can you see it? Do you long for it? For those of you who are not Christians, this is what you could miss out. You could miss out of being in the presence of God. You could miss out of the things that are described in this passage of Scripture. You could miss out. And you know, American Standard Version describes, you know, Him being among the throne differently. It says that we have a shepherd, someone who's shepherding us once we get up there. Well, if you're not a Christian, you'll miss out on that. You'll miss out on the one who sits on the throne shepherding us, being there with us. For those of you who die not a Christian, your fate will not just be the fly and the maggot, but you will suffer a second death, another separation from God. But God, being the just God that we have today, and being the just God that He is also prepared a place for those who choose to reject Him on this earth. That place is with the devil and his angels in hell. And we read in the Scripture where this is a place of torment, a place of pain, a place of gnashing of teeth. You know, as a child, I've heard that term, gnashing of teeth, all of my life. And I've seen some people in pain, but I've yet to see someone in such pain to where their teeth were gnashing. What does that say? What do you need to gain from this? Well, the point is, while you're alive, while the blood still runs warm in your veins, while you're on this side of the dirt, you have the opportunity. You have the opportunity to avoid that fate, to avoid hell. And how do you take advantage of that opportunity? Well, first, the person that was described over in this passage of Scripture as being the Lamb that sits upon the throne, you have to believe that that person was Jesus Christ and that He was the Son of God. After you believe that, you have to come and confess that before men. The Bible says, if you cannot confess Me before men, I will not confess you before My Father, which is in heaven. After you confess, then you need to repent. And repentance is not just stopping to sin. Repentance is a changing of your heart. Turning that heart which might now be set on preparing yourself for a place here on earth of comfort. Doing things here on earth to make yourself feel good. Changing that heart to something heavenly. Something that looks and yearns for the opportunity to be with God and to serve God and worship Him in heaven. Turning that heart from a life of sin to a life of commitment to doing what you have to do in order to live with Jesus Christ. After you've repented, then you have to be buried in the watery grave of baptism. The Bible tells us, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Your sins are a stench. And essentially, you can't get rid of that stench until you take care of it, until you've washed yourself. So it is with your soul. Your sin stains you. Baptism is for the remission of that sin. Once you've baptized, then you have to rise up out of that water, a new creature, and live a faithful life. And that's what we will do. We will try to help you live a faithful life. We'll pray for you. We'll study with you. We'll teach you. Understand that you have the opportunity to avoid that. You have the opportunity to avoid living a life, absent of God. And even beyond this life, living a life eternal, absent of God. Living with the devil and his angels in pain. You can avoid that. You can avoid that today. What you have to do to avoid that, I've just explained. We're going to sing an invitation song here in a minute. And if you want to change your fate, if you want to change what happens down the road, you can do so after we sing the invitation song. But to the Christians, what I've done now is, after we've extended the invitation, we're just going to sing through some songs that will hopefully remind you of heaven, some songs that you might be able to sing on the workplace when you get frustrated, some songs that you might want to sing when you wake up in the morning, just to ensure that you have a great day. So, like I said, if you are not a Christian, the invitation is yours. If you are a Christian, you haven't been living right, you know what you got to do. You got to fix it. You got to fix it. So if you are subject to the invitation, please feel free to come now as we stand and sing the song of invitation, 317.
317. All things ready, come to me, come for the table now.
Number 258. If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to our souls. sighing for home, longing for thee, beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea. Soon the bright homeland adorning, we shall behold the glad dawn. Lean on the Lord till the morning, trust till the night is gone. Home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam. Free from all care, happy and bright, Jesus is there. He is the light. Oft in the storm, lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee, beautiful home of the ransom beside the crystal sea.
688. As I travel through life with its troubleless ride, I've a glorious hope to give cheer on the way. Soon my toil will be o'er, and I'll rest on that shore where the night has been turned into day. As I roam the hillside, or I list to the time, as I pluck the sweet flowers that grow in the dale, a faint picture is there of a land bright and fair, where perennial flowers never fade. Up in the beautiful paradise, valley by the side of the river. Shares perfect sweet rose, 'tis the wonderful flower we love. Up in the beautiful paradise, valley by the side of the river of life. Up in the valley, all wonderful valley, will be free from all pain. There we shall win the rose tinted.
Number 230. 230.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior far in me.
Just up in glory land will live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Next song is number 218, 218.
218.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land, and I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land,
I am on my way to those mansions fair. Just over in the glory land, there to sing God's praise. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band. Just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand. Just over in the glory land.
680. 680. Anywhere is home.
Earthly wealth and fame might never come to me, and a pathless fate here mine may never be. But let come what may, if Christ for me does.
Anywhere is holy, if Christ my Lord.
number 447, Ivory Palaces.
447.
My Lord has garments of undress on, and wears a shirtless. His fragrance reaches to this heart of mine, with joy my being thrills.
Sing the first, second, and last verse, 544.
There's a call come ringing o'er the restless sway.
Thank you.
Jesus gave his life on ransom yonder Calvary.
He wore it all. My precious Savior suffered pain and agony.
166. Number 166, You Love Me So. And if it's convenient, would you please stand for this song? Number 166.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble grove? Why did He choose a lowly birth? Because He loved me so. He
grab your blue book, let's sing number 29 out of the blue book. Number 29.
I will take my heavenly flight.
What a song of delight in the city so bright. We'll be wept beneath heaven's red dawn. How the ransom will raise happy songs in his praise when all of God's singers get home. When all God's singers get home. Whenever a sorrow will come, there'll be no sing your honors on the saddest of earth. Tis the foretaste of heaven to come. But our joy can't compare with the glory out there when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home. When there'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. Having overcome sin, hallelujah, amen, we'll be heard in that heaven above. Every heart will be light and its face will be bright when
sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare us a place. When we
song, only one verse of this song, we'll have a closing prayer. 682. We'll sing the first verse only. 682. Following this, we'll be led in prayer. Mm-hmm.